642, 1320 WILS. You know, the one muscle in your body that never stops and really can never stop is your heart. Let's talk about heart health. Dr. Robert Edmondson is with us. He is a cardiologist and has been working in the field for many decades now. Dr. Edmondson, great to have you on WILS.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate being on your show.
Yeah, we were going to talk about energy drinks and other topics, but right after we talked, I did a Google search and saw that there's this new study from Johns Hopkins Medicine finding that the combining exercise with vitamin D can lower the risk of a heart attack or a stroke. And I'm curious, do you encourage patients to take vitamin D or any kinds of supplements like that?
I do encourage them to take vitamin D, and it's I measure it routinely with the battery of tests that I get when I see patients. Mm-hmm. I measure to document the baseline. It's universally low, and that's actually associated with adverse effects. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know about the bones. It's important with the bones. It's important to blood pressure. It's important with the heart. So vitamin D is a very important, and it's really under-emphasized, I believe, in general.
So are there other supplements you encourage along with vitamin D, or is that the primary one?
Well, I measure some supplements, where there's a necessity of supplements in the blood. Mm-hmm. For example, I measure what's called EPA and DHA. Those are the active ingredients in the omega-3 oils. And omega-3 reduces inflammation. It's important that actually DHA is important to our brain function, mm-hmm. and I find that to be low in many people, and the supplement is worthwhile. As a cardiologist, I treat a lot of patients with the statin drugs, and I really firmly believe in CoQ10 is necessary because it's an important enzyme in our muscles, and statins tend to deplete it.
Now, what about the concerns about statin drugs? I know are there not studies out there that show that they don't particularly have an effect on older women that's beneficial? Is that right?
No, sir, that's not correct.
It's not, okay.
Actually, the studies have been shown basically that they're beneficial to older people as well as younger. Mm-hmm. And certainly there's a lot of controversy about it, and I certainly deal with that a lot because I have to advise a lot of people to take them, and they have reluctance. And there are some associated symptoms, musculoskeletal, that are real, and they can be addressed and adjusted. Mm-hmm. The idea that it causes mental dysfunction is really not correct. And one reason I'm such an advocate is, as you mentioned, I've been practicing for decades. I practiced for a number of years before we had the statin drugs. At that time, I was an interventional cardiologist, put in that, doing angioplasty and subsequent stents. And we would open up a vessel and get a good result, but a year later, the patient had a blockage in another artery. Mm-hmm. When we got the statin drugs, that stopped happening. And we were struggling to get the cholesterol down to go to exercise, and the LDL, the bad cholesterol, could not get it down readily. The statins bring it down.
They clear the cholesterol from the blood, essentially? Is that it?
Well, sir, they reduce the LDL cholesterol, which is the kind of the culprit that's caused the problem. It does reduce the cholesterol in the blood. It can actually reverse some of the plaque formation, but if there is plaque present, it stabilizes it, helps prevent rupture, which is what triggers off heart attacks.
Interesting. So you see this across the board, that the use of statins is just across the board reduce these plaques from building up again?
Well, it's one of the factors which benefits that. Mm-hmm. I think that my approach is that the disease is, in fact, I hate to use the word multifactorial, but it's multiple factors. Mm-hmm. And the LDL cholesterol is an important one, and the statins are a very big key. And involved with that, not that diet and exercise are not very important in that regard, they are as well. Yeah. But the other factors which help prevent plaque formation, and that relaxation, proper nutrition, proper diet is a huge issue. It's very much understated in our country. So,
And that's the hard work, especially when you talk about proper diet and exercise. Dr. Robert Edmondson is with us. Find him at VASQX.com. But I'm curious, too, about the exercise part, because you hear about people dropping dead because they're exercising too hard. They have a heart attack. How do you know how to treat your heart when it comes to exercise?
Well, first, it depends upon your age and what your probable risk is. Younger people can certainly begin to exercise at a graded level, progressively increase the exercise. If you're older and there's potential of the risk for heart disease, then a stress test is valuable to be sure that they're not uncovering an issue with this exercise. Mm-hmm. In addition, it's important to address all the other risk factors in this exercise, because if your risk factors are well controlled, if plaque is stabilized, you're not likely to get in trouble with exercise. Mm-hmm. But we can certainly find out what your current status is and whether what exercise is correct for you. And the information we have, even in older people, exercise is critically important. Yeah. And some of the studies have shown people greater than 70 that moderately vigorous exercise reduces cardiovascular risk. So clearly your implication is correct.
That's 70.
You can't just do it without.
Yeah, here's what I've never understood with a heart is that apparently there are no clear symptoms before a heart attack. Someone can be walking around just fine with all this plaque buildup, and then suddenly, boom, they have this massive heart attack. How does that happen that we don't have any discernible symptoms?
Yes, sir. It can happen when the person can have a normal stress test. They can have a normal scan of the heart, because that's just we evaluate the flow through the artery. The blockage has to be in the 60% range or so, close to 70, before it really is meaningfully reducing blood flow, so you wouldn't have symptoms. The problem is, if you have aggressive plaque formation, you're not addressing risk factors, not on a statin, which is helpful in that regard, then the cholesterol inside that wall of the blood vessel becomes very swollen. It's almost like a boil called foam cells associated with cholesterol, and it tears the enema, the lining of the blood vessel. That torn enema then creates a rough surface, platelets aggregate, and form a blood clot. So you go from a vessel which is maybe 40% blocked, it'll cause you no symptoms, to 100% blocked in a short period of time by a blood clot. Mm. So that's why it's so important to know in advance what your risk is, and also for us all to have a lifestyle that reduces the tendency to have the formation to begin with, because that can be prevented by proper diet, nutrition, and if necessary, statin drugs.
And what do you, in terms of your own heart health, are you a vegetarian, or do you have a particular diet of some kind?
Well, I'm a big believer in principally vegan diet. And so the vegetarian includes dairy products, and vegan is basically plant-based.
And you're a vegan yourself, you're saying?
I would say about 80%.
Uh-huh. And when did that start?
Well, that started about 5 years ago, actually. As many years I've been practicing, I didn't understand nutrition that well. A heart surgeon friend of mine told me about a book I should read. I didn't read it off the bat, but I saw him lose weight. His blood vessels got better. I looked at the book and read it. Mm-hmm. Completely changed the way that I eat, and not because I said I'm better, but because if those foods are doing that to me, I don't want it. If that's going to do this for me, I want it. Yeah. And I made the change because and that's what I tell patients. I want them to be educated as the reasons. You can't shake your finger at somebody and say, don't eat this, eat that. They have to understand why. Yeah. But with education and realizing this is what I'm doing to my body, this is what I'm doing for my body, that makes a huge difference.
What was the name of that book, by the way?
It was Eat to Live by Joel Fuhrman, M.D.,
Yeah, I believe I've read that book. Yeah, it's an old book, though. It's been around for a long time, right?
It's been around quite a while. Yeah. There are other books similar. There was a physician at the Cleveland Clinic who wrote a book 25 years ago showing reversal of disease in patients who were in stage that had nothing else to offer. This information has actually been around a long time.
It's important for people to hear. Look, Dr. Edmondson, I want to have you on again because this is a topic that we can talk about endlessly. Dr. Robert Edmondson, he is a cardiovascular disease doctor, has been doing this for many decades. As you just heard, he is a vegan also. Dr. Edmondson, it's been enlightening. Great to have you on WILS.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.